Under the anti-Islamic unity camp, we have the group which is based on lack of understanding. Their opposition is based on lack of understanding of the concept itself. So they would say something like this, and you probably have heard this in your circles. Those who do not properly understand what Islamic unity means, they see it as betraying their own sect. They're like, we cannot turn our backs on our sect for this whole unity and being close to the other denomination. They feel that if they do the unity with other Muslims, they're going to be disloyal towards Ahlul Bayt. That's a dangerous thing. Nobody wants to be in that position, right? We don't want to be disloyal towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This thing is set in some people's mind that the dalalat-e-iltizami of Wahdat-e-Islami is that we will be betraying Ahlul Bayt. We will be compromising on our deen. We will be compromising on our stances, on our beliefs. So what is our response to such people? Our response is that first of all, unity applies to Shias and Sunnis, not to Shiaism and Sunniism. Unity does not apply to two schools of thought. It is about the Sunni people and the Shia people. We're not saying that we merge the Shia and Sunni and somehow come up with a sushi. That's not the idea. Nobody ever said that. None of our scholars ever asked for it. So this is the first fear that some people have in their minds, that if we go towards the unity, Islamic unity, we're going to become sushi. We're not going to be Sunni anymore. We're not going to be Shia anymore. What are we then? We're going to lose our identity. So we say to them that unity applies to Shias and Sunnis. It is not a unity between Shiaism and Sunniism as maqatib fikr. The second thing we tell them is that unity does not mean compromising on our respective beliefs and aqaid. You know, you look throughout the history of Shia scholarship, they never asked you to give up your aqidah, your belief, and compromise your belief for the sake of Islamic unity. That's not the idea. Neither did Imam Khomeini ask for it, nor Imam Khamenei. But some people again have in their mind that if we have to be united, this means inevitably we have to drop some of our beliefs. Again, this is not the case. The third thing we tell them is that unity does not mean fiqhi conformity, jurisprudential conformity between Shias and Sunnis. So we're not proposing, when we talk about Islamic unity, we're not proposing that Sunnis, they start unfolding their hands and Shias start folding their hands while they're praying. Nobody ever proposed such a thing. We're not proposing that Shias start breaking fast when according to their jurisprudence, it's not time to break fast. None of these things have ever been mentioned by any of our scholars. But some people in their minds, they think that if they go towards unity, they would have to change the way of doing ibadat and their worships, and now we would have to start paying zakat instead of khums. No, nobody asked you that. Nor do we expect Sunnis. When we talk about unity, we don't expect Sunnis to drop their fiqh. No, you keep following your fiqh. If your fiqh says that you fold your hands on your belly, do it there. If your fiqh says fold your hands on your chest while you're praying, do it there. We have no problem with it. So it is not the fiqh conformity, something we have to keep in mind. Unity, again, does not necessarily mean to agree with each other's historical narrative. Some people think, oh, in order for us to be united, we have to stop talking about Ghadir. Stop talking about the Imam of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam. No way in the world has anyone ever asked that in order for you to be united with Sunnis, you have to agree with their historical narrative. So when we're talking about Islamic unity, it is not about not talking about what happened with Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. We're not saying that history is not to be studied. History is not to be narrated. History is to be, you know, concealed. Nobody ever said that. The question is, do we highlight these to spread sectarianism or not? This is where the crux of the matter is. Do we use these historic incidents to get lesson out of it, or do we turn them into a fight with the other Muslims and we spread extremism and violence, or we instigate others to become extremist and violent? That is where the issue is. So again, unity does not mean to necessarily agree with the narrative of the other school of thought. Unity, again, another misconception some people have in their minds. Unity does not mean to be united with the Nasibis and Takfiris. Nasibis are the people who officially hate Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, na'uzu billah. None of the Shia scholars, nowhere in the Quran, nowhere throughout the Ahadith and the Seerah of Masumin, have we seen that they united with the people, or they called for unity with the people who hate Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So when we talk about Islamic unity in today's time and age, it does not mean that we are asking for unity with the Nasibis. There's no unity with the Nasibis. And as a matter of fact, I don't have time for it. If we look into the fatawa that the Maraji have given in terms of Nasibis, you can't even dream of having unity with them. The second group we cannot have unity with are Takfiris. Those who do Takfir, yani, they call the other Muslims to be kafir. This mindset has no place in Islam. So when we talk about Islamic unity, it's not with the Salafis, it is not with the Takfiris.